Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Well, hello, and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America. Hope you guys had a nice 4th of July, and that we were able to recognize the sacrifice and service of our veterans and avoid the fireworks every year. You guys hear me complain. I'm in one of the cities where they let the amateurs in the neighborhood play with explosives, and every year on the news, there's all kinds of people that are injured. The day after, July 5th, a little FYI, is the most full day for dog rescues. Dogs and other wildlife get so freaked out at all the noise that they bolt and run, and the next day they start showing up at animal rescues. And then it throws the birds off, and it throws off those of us that have PTS. So I'm really glad it's over, and I'll be happy if someday our city, like some of the more prudent ones, have those beautiful organized firework displays where you can go and seek it out if you want, but it doesn't have to sound like you're downfield standing out in your backyard. So in any case, I hope it was a good weekend for you. For those of you who are new around here, Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. And for that, it takes a good bit of warrior. Again, I'm your host, Kim Justice, and I am here every Wednesday night. I'm really excited tonight for a couple of different reasons. You know, I've been here for 10 years, every Wednesday, over that now, I guess. And I've been blessed to just have some marvelous guests and get the opportunity to share a little slice of the journey of an awful lot of people pursuing an awful lot of fantastic service-oriented things. Dr. Chris Ann Gordon was a guest, and I don't know, maybe she'll remember. It's been a long time ago, but I was just telling a new host that I was training today a little bit about the show tonight and telling her that there's some guests that I've really enjoyed a lot, and I remember the impression. I remember what they look like. I remember what we talked about, but names, I lose names. And I said, Chris Ann must have really resonated because I've always remembered her name. So going to have two guests tonight. I'm going to tell you in a minute a little bit about Dr. Chris Ann Gordon. And then Tim Beckley, for those of you who have maybe been listening in, I think the last weeks, maybe once back around Memorial Day, and then last week I was promoting this show and I played a song by a fabulous singer-songwriter who Dr. Gordon tapped to do a song for Resurrecting Lives, which we'll be talking about, and Tim did that. And I might talk to him about this later, but I'll say up front, he was reluctant. He has made many songs for other people, but he doesn't love to perform. And I don't know, maybe it's that same magic that makes me remember Dr. Gordon's name, but he didn't have a problem writing a song for him. But as he shared with me in a conversation a couple months ago, he did have a problem recording it and performing it himself. But he did, and God bless him for doing it. Nobody can tell a story like their own with as much heart and spirit as he does in his song, which I'll play for you later and can also be found on YouTube, and I'll give you that information later. Tim will be joining us in a little while tonight, so excited to have them both. Dr. Chrisann Gordon is a rehabilitation physician specializing in traumatic brain injury recovery. She considers it an honor to work with veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan who are recovering from the invisible wounds of war, TBI, PTS, formerly D. She is founder and chairwoman of Resurrecting Lives Foundation. You can find out more about that at resurrectingliesfoundation.com. Her documentary in 2013, Operation Resurrection, demonstrates solutions for healthcare, education, and employment for our vets returning with TBI, PTS. The nonprofit foundation follows through with the solutions set forth in the documentary, promoting collaborative efforts between military and VA resources and the civilian community. Resurrecting Lives Foundation continues to serve as a voice for our heroes with TBI and the families who care for them. Now, Tim Beckley is a folk rock independent singer-songwriter and veteran. He's been writing music since the age of 16 when he moved from piano to guitar after his piano teacher returned to the Czech Republic. His music is inspired by his own life, his journey, his observations, losses, the lessons of falling down, transformation, strength, and hope. Music has always been an outlet of emotions deeply embedded in order to reflect and heal, as well as to express personal gratitude for life and the profound experiences and people that have made an indelible imprint on his life. His songs, by, he says, pure accidental magic, have made it into the hands of some of the greatest artists in the world and on the Billboard charts in the UK, Ireland, Australia, Canada, and the US, including two top 50 UK Billboard songs of decade end, and a number of top 10 Billboard 100s. His songs can be everywhere music is sold and streamed. Tonight, his song Brainstorms that we're going to play can be found at resurrectinglivesfoundation.com and also on YouTube. Now, if you didn't catch, if you're driving or you're just coming in, the regulars know that I always put the relevant website in the program notes, and the show is posted in about 40 places across social media. If you're not listening from one of those, you can go to braininjuryradio.com or inaflash.org. Click the link. You'll see what I just read, the bios on my guests, and then the website, resurrectinglivesfoundation.com. So if you're not by a pen right now, don't panic. I always write it in the notes. And with that, I am going to bring on Dr. Gordon. Welcome to the show, Chris Ann. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing just great, and I just want to make one tiny correction because that is not our website address. And if anybody's trying to reach us and needs anything, they'll need to go to resurrectinglives.org. Okay. So I thought I would just say, because you did such a good job of announcing it so succinctly a couple times, and I'm really proud of you, but I'm thinking if somebody gets frustrated, you know, if you just put in resurrecting life, it'll show up on the Google search engine, so we're good with that.
Well, and it does do that, and apologies after the show. I thought I copied and pasted what was sent, but probably not. What I will do is maybe just reading through the foundation. After the show tonight, folks, I will be repeating the correct website during the show.
Yeah.
After the show, though, I will be correcting it. So it's resurrectinglives.org, and that is what I'll be correcting when we're off the show. So what I say is still true, only you're not going to find it right now if you're reading
and
the program.
Right. The only reason why I wanted to say it is we get a lot of, particularly during the pandemic, a lot of the young men and women who had issues reach us through that website, which is amazing to me because we started here in Columbus, Ohio area. And because of everything in the last decade and the way that so much has become virtual after the pandemic, we've now been able to, you know, share the stories and the journeys of veterans from 29 states. So I think that speaks, as Kim, as you and I spoke about, that speaks to the need. I mean, it shows if somebody's in the middle of the night searching through the websites and they find resurrectinglives.org and they jump on and they send me a note, that shows you that how many other places have they tried to have someone listen to them. And usually by the time that they get to us, I'm hearing stories that have gone on 10 years. And you know, in the TBI world, that's not, you know, unusual to have to struggle that long.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And as a matter of fact, when you said resurrecting lives, before the show, I did just what you said. I just typed in my search engine resurrecting lives and the site went up. So I was looking at the site again because it had been a couple of weeks. And so it does come right up. But you talk about the mission statement. I want to back up a little bit to where we first started when we met. You know, we've got a lot of new people, I'm sure, since the first time we had an interview. So I wanted to go back just a little bit in your history of how you were practicing and what made you to decide to direct your efforts as a rehabilitation physician toward traumatic brain injury and then specific the veterans.
Okay, that is an interesting story, and I say, you know, it's one where God kind of drafted me to this mission in a very unique and in a very definite way. So, being the klutz that I am, while putting up Christmas decoration in the mid 1990s, I actually sustained a concussion by literally hitting my head against a brick wall. I mean, it was truly that. I'm not sure exactly how long I was unconscious, somewhere between 20 and 40 minutes, but when I kind of came to, and I mean kind of came to, I realized that there were a lot of things that I was missing, like the ability to see very clearly. I couldn't speak. I had no feeling on the right side of my body. And, you know, this had all happened in an instant. So the one thing I recall is when a friend of mine just came over to visit and luckily, you know, found me and took me to the emergency room, I've got these different kinds of things that I can't do with my brain anymore, and yet my MRI was normal. And I think we talked about this in the first slot, that Tim, that you and I talked about, so much could be going on in your brain that doesn't show up with the MRI. And what I realized is I was in my own hospital. There was not one of my colleagues that thought I was faking, like nobody. Like normal MRI, she's, you know, concussed here, and it did take about a year to come out of that brain fog that I was feeling. Fast forward to 2001 when we started the conflict in Afghanistan, and then 2003 in Iraq. And by 2007, they were already talking about these young men and women having difficulties with brain injuries from blasts and from rocket-propelled grenades and all of the above. And pretty soon the story starts really, well, you know, there's a group of veterans must be malingering because their MRIs are normal, and yet they've got all these deficits. And that was my calling. I mean, that was the moment I said, wait a minute. Yeah, you cannot say that. I've been there. I've done that. Not in the degree that they have, not the severity of the injury, and certainly not the circumstances with, you know, gunfights and bombs going off and your buddies, you know, perhaps being killed right in front of you. So they had so much more going on and yet were called malingerers. And that was when I said, wait a minute, you know, I lost my voice for about 3 months with my brain injury, and I figure God gave it back to me for a reason, and I was going to use it to speak for those that have lost their ability to speak for themselves.
Well, and I think that that's really wonderful, because out of this 20 years, I think blast injuries are going to be one of the hallmark injuries of these conflicts. At least that's what I'm hearing time and time again as I've been interviewing veterans. And one of the big issues is, well, like you said, it doesn't show up on a scan. If doctors aren't very tuned in, then they're going to automatically give a veteran oftentimes a diagnosis of PTS and ignore the fact that they have a brain injury if they haven't taken a direct blow to the head. You know, sometimes from what I'm hearing from veterans who have visited the VA and various other places that they've felt trusting enough to go to, because some of the symptoms overlap, they're picking up one but not the other. And it seemed a lot of times they weren't understanding that those loud, repetitive blasts have a concussive effect, much like, well, again, not the same circumstances, but
right.
But in sports, you don't have to have a direct hit like you did to suffer the same outcome from a concussion, and you can get that. We did a show, last month on acoustic concussion.
Yeah.
And there was some talk of blast injury going on there, that a lot of times doctors will miss the fact if a person hasn't had a direct blow to the head, and the doctor asks a person and they say, no, I haven't had a direct blow to the head, they totally miss the TBI part. And so often civilians as well as our veterans are misdiagnosed, underdiagnosed, just not diagnosed properly when a direct hit hasn't been had. And then even sometimes when there has been, there's difficulty getting a correct diagnosis because, as you say, it doesn't show up on the scan. So a physician, what I call in the traditional medical model particularly, you know, has to want to be versed in TBI to some degree to be able to understand this. You know, we go back in our generation to not that long ago when we were younger, and you'd hear about it more in sports at that time. You know, that in fact, we had a public service announcement once for sports, and it was, I think, out of the CDC Heads Up program, where there were, you know, the reference to getting your bell rung And remember
yes.
the old cartoons,
oh, yes.
you know, where Roadrunner would come by and knock over one of the other characters, and you'd see the little stars going around their head. And then they and we were supposed to get back up and proceed on with life as normal, you know. And since I talked to you last, interviewed you last anyway, back in 2015, I understood better because my first brain injury was unrelated. It was that ruptured brain aneurysm. But in 2015, just walking out onto my deck, I tripped somehow on the threshold of the door, and I went flying through the air. And the first thing I could think of is, don't hit your head, don't hit your head, because when you've been through a craniotomy, you're very aware. You don't want to hit your head.
No, I'm sure, yes.
And so with whatever luck I had, I didn't hit my head. But when I came down on the butts of my hands with my arms locked straight and banged down really hard and then rocked back with one leg, I'm lucky I didn't break, kind of underneath my butt. But what that did was snapped my neck harshly, and I got a whiplash concussion out of that. And right. you, who knew, had symptoms immediately and what happened to you, with me, I sat there and kind of collected myself like the cartoon character with the little
yes.
stars. And all I could do is be, great, I didn't hit my head.
Mm.
And so I didn't think any more of it, except my arms hurt, my back
oh.
hurt, my hands were scraped, things like that. But I thought that I had dodged the bullet and I was okay. And this just goes to tell you how difficult to affirm, how difficult it is when the patient doesn't know if they're on foot or horseback, and the doctor isn't well versed in what's going on, about how easily it can become a cluster with a lot of mistakes. Is, you know, I started having headaches every day, and I didn't even think anything of it. I'd be going through whatever I was doing in my day, and at whatever point, you know, the headache got to be too noticeable and painful, I would go to the cabinet, take a couple Advil, and usually have to go in and lay down in my dark bedroom and breathe deeply and kind of let the Advil and the relaxation take my headache away. And I was going through this systematically, this process, for almost 3 months. And at this point, you know, I felt bad in some ways, because when I came to Brain Injury Radio, I didn't know anything about brain injury. I actually knew something at this point, but
oh,
I
yeah.
didn't catch it when it was going on with me, you know. And the only reason I ever found out that I have post-concussion syndrome is that one time in that third month, my mom and my husband, within a couple days of each other, that's why it registered with me, said, boy, you're sure having a lot of headaches lately.
Mm.
And then is when the light bulb came
on. The light came on.
Yes. I was like, oh, God, it was that fall, and I did get hurt. I didn't realize it. And so, of course, I went to the doctor at that point, and he sent me to the hospital, and of course nothing showed up on the scans except that I really messed up my C1 through 6 with that neck snapping. But the forgetfulness and the brain fog and some of the other things that came with it, like the headaches for quite a while, and a few other things, you know, they didn't they didn't accuse me of lying or malingering because I kind of told them a little of what I just told you, that I felt bad that I wasn't familiar because I actually work in brain injury radio, you know, and I didn't recognize it in myself, you know, because I got knocked silly, you know, as it were, not so silly, but I obviously wasn't operating correctly, or I would have picked up on that myself.
Well, you know? I think that's a great thing for your listening audience to hear, you know, particularly when we have the two groups of people that have the most issues with it, our veterans, you know, on the battlefield, our athletes on the playing field, and neither one of those groups are groups that complain. You know, I mean, it's always the press ahead, get the mission done, protect your brother, you know, on the playing field, on the battlefield. You know, there's so many other things going on that they don't think about themselves. And then it takes somebody at home or multiple people at home kind of say, you know, you're acting kind of funny, like you're forgetting things, or your family saying, you know, you're taking a lot of Advil, like what's going on here? Because with everything going on with your own brain fog, you're not registering that. And I thought that what you said, Kim, was really important to bring out too, about how, you know, doctors don't always know what's going on with the TBI, because we right now have fewer than 10% of all of our healthcare personnel ever treat anybody with a traumatic brain injury. And that's an amazingly low number for an injury that is fast approaching the World Health Organization's, you know, fourth largest health concern in the world. You know, it was slated to be number four before the pandemic hit, which was, you know, the beginning kind of last year. So it struggles in there at the fifth or sixth worst thing that can happen to you in terms of causing some future disability, and yet we've got fewer than 10% of the people in the world who are looking at it in terms of treatment. You know, there's a lot more neuroradiologists who are helping us out with looking inside the brain and seeing what's going on. So instead of just the plain MRI or the CT scan, we have the functional MRIs and the fusion tensor, SPECT scans. We have a lot of ways of looking into it now. But there's not that many docs out there picking up from the ER or picking up from the playing field or the battlefield in the VA what's actually going on. So I think I really want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to be on this show and for your constant vigilance every Wednesday night for your listening audience to know that, you know, you're not alone out there. You know, there are people who do know how to fix this and will spend the time and energy to work with you to do it, but we've got to help you find them.
Well, and that's one of the things that I encourage, and now listeners have been doing it, is I tell them to take the link to their doctor with them, because a lot of people in the audience are going to a lot of physicians over the course of their, you know, neurologists, psychiatrists, internists, you know, rehabilitation doctors, all kinds of different doctors. And I say, on a show like this or something that I feel like doctors need to know to help them be aware, you know, that they might have two pages in their textbook on traumatic brain injury, and that's not their specialty.
Right.
So that's not what they're reading constantly on to keep up with the facts and sources, because it isn't it's simply not the area they work in. You know,
right.
And I've talked about that with neurologists and so forth. You know, there's a lot of our listeners that will go to a neurologist with an expectation, and that neurologist, 8 or 9 out of 10, have not specialized working with people with traumatic brain injury. And they're maybe more well-versed in some other area of the brain, but don't know quite to do with us. And so a lot of times it's pill pelting at symptoms. And I'll say what I say every week practically, that I'm not saying that there aren't times that medication is necessary, not like that, but I am saying we're the most overprescribed nation in the world, and the minute you put your hand out for the first pill, it seems like they start multiplying into bunches of pills, and unfortunately, a lot of the side effects, you know, things like depression or suicidal ideology or sleepiness, things like that, are things that we already suffer from. And to be taking, you know, to have a drug treat us that has, it plays into the side effects
of
symptoms that we're living with isn't us. And so there's a lot of frustration out there in the community. So a few years back, I started saying, because I would see in the chat room people saying, why did my doctor know that? Or you know, make certain comments. And I say, I encourage everybody, you know, if there's a show you've heard, something that resonates with your case or a type of doctor that you're going to that you think could maybe be open to learning a little more, take them the link to the podcast and let them read, you know, who in the program notes, you know, who the guests are, and have them listen to it, because it's a lot easier maybe when they're driving in the car commuting to listen to a podcast than to sit down and read something on work time. And they might even learn something, you know.
Right.
They will learn something.
Right. And our docs do need to be educated. I'm really happy that more and more of the medical schools are actually, they're still not doing a great job in my estimation, because there's still far too many young physicians who come out, nursing as well, you know, the allied health professionals. The therapists, you know, if you go into occupational therapy or physical therapy, speech and, you know, memory therapy, they get it because they treat it, but you know, the docs are the people who should be prescribing this and picking it up, you know, when they see somebody, not just in an ER, but when they come in for their, you know, annual exams or when they stop by for their sports physicals. Those are really good times to pick up some of the subtle changes that you're talking about with memory and processing and reaction times. Balance, you know, do you have headaches? You know, do lights bother you with loud sounds? All of those things, you know, play into the diagnosis of a traumatic brain injury. And I will bring up one other point, Kim. When you were talking about the pills, I was literally shocked when I began working with veterans and actually volunteered at our local VA several times a month for about a year. And I was shocked with the average number of pills that our young military members were taking. And these are men and women that went into the military voluntarily, never taking a pill, you know, at age 18 or 19. And suddenly they come back from their tour of duty, or they had a concussion or a head injury in training, and they're on 19 pills. And it's just like you said, I mean, so many of them actually keep the brain from being able to jumpstart itself again, you know, after an injury, that it can keep you in that prolonged state of the lack of connection with parts of your brain that were, for instance, in the blast explosion, kind of ripped from their cells. They need to grow back. They need to interconnect. They need to find their networks again. And so many of the medications prohibit them from doing so, particularly in the young brain, particularly in the young athlete, the young veteran, those who are in their late teenage years and early 20s. The medications that we have that we're giving them, we should not be giving those black box warnings about suicidal ideation in an adolescent population, because you can't say that, you know, at midnight when you turn 20, you're suddenly able to take those medicines without that same issue, which is one of the things contributing, I believe, to many of our service members coming back, then becoming veterans, and then taking their own lives when they get back here. You know, and that we really, as a society, we really need to accept that and say, you know, okay, we accept what's going on. We will not accept this going forward. Let us do something about it. Let's spread this awareness. Let's get them treatment in a more holistic approach. And let's have docs like your docs, Kim, when we were talking several years ago, who checked in on you every couple weeks, you know, not, you know, take these 100 pills over the next 3 months, and I'll see you, you know, in 6 months. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no.
But you have to be very vigilant if you're a physician, because in the brain, so many things can happen to make your condition either worsen or get better really quickly, and you need to be aware of manipulating the medications in order to help that to happen as well.
Well, and the other thing, too, that I don't know that doctors question is that, you know, they're, from what I've heard from, we've got a couple veteran hosts I've brought on now, but the guests I've had over the years is transitioning back, especially in this particular conflict, you know, people deployed 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 times, if you can imagine,
right.
You know, the noise and the horror that no psyche should ever have to endure, and then doing it 5, 6, or 7 times, of course you're going to have issues transitioning back into the day-to-day that you left that doesn't resemble everything has changed. It's like a jigsaw puzzle that got dumped and all the pieces are all over. And one thing I think that isn't taken into account is not only the prescription drugs, but that many of our veterans and others will, you take the prescription drugs that have been given, and then you take adding self-medicating, drinking too much or whatever it might be, whatever drug it might be, and that is going to be not helpful either, because each one of those drugs that's given out, I was explaining one night, at least you can tell, correct me if I'm wrong, but when they do the clinical trials on a drug, there's no possible way to know how that drug is going to interact with every other drug made. And right. So they're doing the clinical trial on that particular drug, and likely the people in the clinical trials aren't on any other drug. They've got a certain condition, and they're trying to bring this drug to market. So those side effects and all of that have to do with if that were the only pill you were taking. Well, okay, then take that times those 19 pills, and nobody ever tested the interaction between that set of 19 pills and then adding a six-pack on top of it every night. You know, nobody did that before. And so suddenly you've got what initially was a TBI, PTS, or a combination of those two things. And now you're compounding that with the chemical interaction to the injury and to the personality, to the psyche, physically, mentally, spiritually, adding on, piling on to what the original issue was. And a lot of times that question isn't being asked as the pills are getting prescribed. You know, one of the things I'm disappointed with in our healthcare system now, and I've been hearing it from the VA for a long time, but in the private sector, as we start resembling that, you know, we're looking at 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes to be able to spill our beans, and then we're out of there till next year. So one thing I'm always encouraging people to do is, you know, we feel the pressure of them being in a hurry. We're forgetful anyway. A lot of times now, because of the damn tablets, which I know have got to be more convenient than file was, but a lot of times the doctor's looking at my last physical, and I got my coming up at the end of the month. It's been a couple years. I skipped the COVID year, but the last time I was at my doctor, my other one retired, and now, unfortunately, everybody looks like a kid to me, like they're 12. And so this person who is my new doctor that I've seen once, I feel like he's 12. And, you know, he spent of the 17 minutes or however long we had, he was looking at the tablet most of the time. Now, I could have sprouted, you know, a red nose and green ears and warts all over my face, and the guy wouldn't have noticed because he was looking at the tablet. And so I encourage people, before you ever go to the doctor, to write down your whatever, top five most pressing issues. You can also take some other notes about other things, but chances are the doctor's not going to have time to talk about everything you'd like to put on your list. So the things that are plaguing you worst day to day, interfering with your life and your relationship with yourself, your relationship with others, those top five you want to write down. And if you have to, tap the doctor gently on the shoulders and do one of those my eye to your eye kind of things, kind of get their attention and say,
we have to do that,
but we do. And I guess I just encourage people to do that because they're completely trusting that somebody knows something that they don't because of credentialing, and that is not necessarily true. The first place for everybody to learn is for us to remember to express ourselves, and the best way to do that is to write it down ahead of time, because we don't have time to forget and try to think of what it was we really wanted to talk about, because the appointment will be over, and then we'll address it next year. So write it down ahead of time, and then, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, I'm going to assume their memory is going to be better than mine, because they're the doctor, you know, and, you know, write down the things in the tablet after our 15 minutes, you know, do what you can to remember, but may I have your attention for the 15 minutes, you know, and talk about these things that I deal with every day. You know, you see me once a year, but I deal with this every day. I'd like to have you pay attention.
and that is the point. And so often, you know, with a brain injury, with post-traumatic stress that is oftentimes associated with the traumatic brain injury, and as a matter of fact, the research now is pretty much showing that post-traumatic stress develops after a brain injury, and that is that somewhere even remotely, when you were a child, when you were a teenager, whatever, you may have had a brief blow to the head where you didn't get knocked out, but that blow itself is what predisposes you to developing post-traumatic stress thereafter. They're really questioning now why, you know, so many people will get post-traumatic stress after a very, you know, a violent or some type of a situation where they felt that their life was at harm or somebody that they care about was. And what they're showing is those people who develop that kind of intrusive thoughts about that event are all people who have had a anatomical problem with their brain years before that. So I think that that's another thing that I have been doing with our vets that contact us in reports that I will write for them so that they can take those to the VA as well, is to point out the fact that, you know, you're saying that you're treating all of these symptoms, you know, you're treating sleep disturbance and depression and balance issues and memory issues, but you're not giving them, like to your point, you're not giving them the diagnosis of TBI. No, those are all symptoms that are associated with traumatic brain injury, and post-traumatic stress is yet another one of the sequelae of having traumatic brain injury. It does not exist as a freestanding diagnosis, and that's what our neuroradiologists are proving. So I think that's going to be very much of a breakthrough going forward as well, and that should help with some of this over-medicating for every single symptom. Why don't we find out where the brain injury is located and begin rehabbing that brain?
That's really interesting. I suspected, not necessarily as you stated, that they're finding the TBI comes first and then the PTS, but that they are hand in hand so much.
Correct.
Because normally, and it would, and now, yeah, thinking through it, it makes sense. You know, you have the trauma that creates the brain injury, and then the PTS starts to manifest. And that, you know, that happened with me. The only time you would hear, and we are talking about veterans tonight, but just in case you're out there and there's some of the things that you hear, and maybe you're not a veteran, but you're resembling some of these things. You know, when I had my ruptured brain aneurysm, it came out of the blue. My day was going on like any other day. I was 35. I was at the top of my career, the top of my looks, the top of my everything. And boom, my brain exploded that fast. And to go through that kind of intense pain and shock at that happening, and then wind up being in a coma 11 days, waking up, seeing my head half shaved and a C-scar, you know, going around my face. And then what it took to recover in that first year to the extent I was going to most immediately, that was a post-traumatic stress event. Not only the rupture, but the surgery to fix it. And then just other things like seeing yourself. You know, I talk about in the book I wrote that, you know, my mom and who, like my folks, were the only ones up there, I didn't know when I woke up what I looked like. And there's not mirrors strewn around the hospital room, so nobody showed me. You know, they just explained, you know, they were kind of lightly explaining what somebody in the ethers can half understand, that something had happened to my head, you know, and I had surgery. But gosh, my mom had been fending off anybody who came to visit in those days just after a coma. And I'll be damned, she went and just went like to the bathroom or to go get coffee. She was only gone a minute. And this couple that I knew showed up to visit, and they came in, and their face, they were both aghast, and I saw the look at their face, and I said, "What's wrong?" And Deb said, "Have you seen yourself?"
Oh my golly! Oh wow!
No, I said, "No." I hadn't even thought of it. You know, I was pretty heavily sedated. I didn't really think of it
for sure.
Well, she digs around in her purse and gets her compact and holds the mirror up. And I'm looking back at this. Doesn't resemble me at all. I got black eyes and my face is swollen four times the size of what it should be. And my head's partially shaved. And I just, that was really shocking. And right then,
my
mom came in and It was horrible. My mom came walking back into the room right then, and she's an old style Italian lady. She took that mirror and sailed that compact down the hallway and kicked them out, you know, and had a few choice words, but you know, the damage was done, because then I was like, what happened? And we had to deal with things a little in more depth sooner than anybody was planning on getting to that. And you know, when you talk about childhood, and I think that's really important too, because again, back in the old days, the bell rung days, I remember riding my bike, my new bike that had the banana seat and those funny
I never got used to
handlebars, you know, those big handlebars. Okay, so I'm riding that bike and I'm going downhill, a steep hill in the neighborhood, and there's gravel, and I put on my brakes in the gravel and I go flying over the handlebars. And I wind up getting what they called back in the day a goose egg on my forehead.
Okay.
A big goose egg on my forehead. And back then, you know, I went home and you know, laid down. My mom saw it. And back then they didn't, you know, if you weren't bleeding and it wasn't broken, they didn't always run you right to a hospital.
Right. Sure.
At least they, you know, and so, but they called the doctor and described it. And that's when the doctor used to tell you, don't let them go to sleep or they might wake up dead.
Right.
So don't, whatever you do, don't let them go to sleep, you know, keep them awake and put an ice bag, you know, on the goose egg or whatever. And, you know, and that's really all I remember about that event is just that it happened. And I probably hadn't thought of that for years, you know, until I was on here at one time and somebody was talking about stuff that happened to us early on. And that was such a non-event event back when it happened.
Right, but it really was a setup, and they've noticed it so many of the times. It is those things, a kid with a bicycle, climbing trees, falling out of a tree, you know, being knocked down, tripping when you're running on asphalt at schools. I mean, so many things happen to set up an anatomical injury to the brain, and then post-traumatic stress, as we know it, is kind of a continual chemical reaction where you keep going over the same thing. And that's because the pathways that would have drawn those memories away and stored them in a different part of the brain, those pathways aren't working. So you're a very good example of that, Ms. Kim.
Well, it's interesting to know because I get to put all these pieces together as I have guests. We, you know, one time a few months back, I was talking to my guest, and they brought up things like so many times in the case, and I had an example I won't share this week about that, but say a person gets into a car wreck and they've got a broken femur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe a broken arm too, but or they need stitches someplace. So there's something broken and there's some blood. Normally, the first responders and then the ER and the doctor are going to focus on what was obvious at the time. They're going to deal with that broken leg because it's obvious that's an issue. They're going to sew up those stitches because it's obvious that's an issue. How often do they go on and say, did you happen to hit your head in the occurrence of this accident, or ask questions about anything else than the thing that was obvious that needed to be fixed at the time? And so I've started asking people that, and nobody has said yes. I mean, what gets treated is what is most visible and obvious, and most of the time, other things that certainly could have gone with something like a car wreck or domestic abuse or, you know, anything like that could also likely include the brain or a TBI, but that's never questioned if there's something obvious that needs to be treated. And so thinking about that as listeners out there and thinking about what Dr. Gordon just talked about, the childhood events that happened that we may have long since forgotten or didn't think that they were relevant. They were relevant for a moment back when they happened, but then, you know, heck, it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And we just kind of let it go from our memory, and then we focus on the worst or the brain injury that got our attention and mm-hmm. don't really think about, you know, when we start having behavioral high anxiety, depressive, emotional issues to go with our physical issues, often don't think ourselves about the effect that earlier events could have had, or that traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress often go hand in hand, because the word trauma is in both of those, you know, when you think about it. So, you know, you just go based on the word alone, you know, you have a traumatic brain injury that is likely to give you post-traumatic stress. So that, I'm so glad that you brought up that new research that's going on. And now, as you say it, it seems obvious to me that that will be what they find out when they're done researching.
Right. There's been about four studies that are really, really good. And I mean, with, you know, thousands of people now that have been studied with that. And we do know that the number one predictor of a traumatic brain injury is a previous one. So, you know, a person who had one traumatic brain injury is four times likely to get a second. And a person who's had two is like eight times more likely to get three. And it just keeps multiplying by factors of four, you know, kind of up the chain, so that if you are kind of klutzy like I am, you know, you do a lot of things like exercising daily with balance type things to try to cut your losses, you know. Let's try it. It's not falling quite so many times, you know, for sure. It was also interesting, has our talent joined us, has Tim joined us, is he just kind of listening in the green room, or... Is
no,
he going to be on?
He hasn't. And as a matter of fact, earlier I texted him because I told you the night that I had him. I texted him and said, "Hi, Tim. Kim from Brain Injury Radio. You guys are on in 6 minutes. Dr. Gordon's not here, but you guys will need to call 424-243-9540. And then I put, she's here. I understand you'll be coming in a little bit late. Looking forward to it. And he never wrote me back, but he did get the text. So I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
But there's no unfamiliar numbers.
Yeah, and I had sent him an email, you know, today as well. And he said, yeah, we'll be chatting with you tonight. Well, I was just thinking it. One of the segues I was going to say to his singing songwriting, which is, you know, purely a right-brained kind of thing, you know, to do, with talking about the differences in the right and left brain, is the fact that I knew that something very different had happened with me, because I had been a pure science brain, you know, numbers and scientific equations and that's all sitting in the left brain. But actually, when I hit, I affected that side of my brain more. So I knew something was different when I still couldn't speak and I still couldn't read and I didn't remember much of my medical calculations, but I started writing poetry. You know, I remember my sister, who's 3 years younger than I am, you know, nothing like a sibling to be like your best friend and / your most critical friend. You know, what the heck's wrong with you? What are you doing writing stuff down? And I'd be like, I don't know, but, you know, it was therapeutic, and I'm sure as things came back to you, we were so happy to get them back, as are our veterans. And I say, you get something that you're able to do with your brain, whether you were used to doing it or not, do it, you know, overwork it, because if you can overwork the parts of your brain that actually are working, you know, you can kind of override the parts of the brain that aren't. So that's another little tidbit, too. Keep working with what you have, it helps bring back what you're missing.
Absolutely. And, you know, as long as you said that and laughed, we also did a show one night. We do a lot of shows and things surrounding these. But, you know, one time we did kind of a poll and asked people, and we found out that must be common that we get hit on that side of the head. But people that had been considered themselves creative before their TBI wound up branching out into broader areas of artistic endeavor. And people like me, who never considered myself to be artistic, wound up doing what you did, writing poetry, a lot of which got published, writing 2 books, doing the podcast, the photography. You know, I've won a bunch of photography awards, and one thing we noticed is that, well, thank you, I'm blessed, because one of the things, you know, we like to talk about, that old adage, when one door closes, another opens. Well, we don't always feel like that right after our injury, but you'll be surprised, because, you know, I said back, you know, a couple of years into the show, if you would have told me 2 years ago, that was back then, now it would be over 10 years ago, that after being a financial consultant for 25 plus years, that's what I did right out of college and kept going, probably would have come to the end doing the same thing. Had I not gotten that brain interruption, I wouldn't have gotten the opportunities to do such incredible things, discovering a part of myself that had never been cultivated before, and to really see the world through different eyes and a different means of expression. And I just wouldn't have made the time. I didn't, there's no reason to think I would have. I never made the time before. but suddenly when there was a void in my life, it came to me, you know, and I was telling somebody that I got, and I sent Tim a text. I haven't heard back from him, but I told him anytime now, he can join us. But, so he has gotten a memo, but he'll be sorry. I got his phone number months ago. I haven't bothered him, so he probably didn't even realize that I had it. Excuse me. That's why I identified myself in the beginning. But, with the photography thing, it was bizarre how things happen, and that a lot of things in life are a process, not an event. And, you know, as the generations have rolled over, people have gotten more entitled and more impatient and more now and more me, and have expectations of things happening quicker and in a certain way. And that just isn't really how it works. And I was in a dark place when I needed to leave my career but didn't know what my new direction was going to be yet. And my husband had given me a camera. And I got a convertible, and I would go out during the day in the convertible and blow the city limits out into the country where it was quiet and there wasn't chaos. And I'm kind of anal about, like, I don't like taking pictures where, unless you're taking picture of a power line on purpose, I call it noise.
Right.
You know, noise, things that are in there, like, or you're taking pictures of a person and somebody walks behind them. That kind of stuff drives me nuts. So best for me, if I'm going to relax, you know, to leave and go out into the country where I'm going to find the things that relax me, not the things that irritate the hell out of me.
Right.
And
very
so,
true. Very cool, though, that you're able to see through that lens. That's so healing. I mean, it really does. That really kept building up your right brain. That's very good.
Well, but the funny thing is, when I first got that camera and went out and did what I did, I was taking photographs, but I wasn't feeling it yet. I wasn't seeing the beauty with my own eyes, and I wasn't feeling the beauty with my own eyes yet. I was just going out and taking pictures, and it was when I came home and uploaded the pictures and looked at them actually saw the beauty for the first time. And it wasn't when I visualized it and captured the image. I had to see it through another lens to get it
That's amazing.
In the first place. And after that, it's totally different. You know, now it's different. But in the beginning, it didn't initially, finding that beauty and being able to feel that peace and that calm didn't come the day that I walked out and put the camera up to photograph the first day. I had no idea what I was going to see when I came home and uploaded the first photographs. And I was like, wow, the world is really a beautiful place. And aren't I lucky I got to capture it. And
that's amazing story, Kim. That's amazing. Wow.
Well, it changed
I really like that. So
my life.
Some of your listeners who maybe are wondering what they can do to try to get their brain back. Again, this is an activity you were not at all familiar with. You hadn't been doing, and you didn't even realize how good you were at it. You know, I mean, I think that's just amazing. Like almost when you're looking at the picture, you're seeing it for the first time. When you were looking through the lens,
yes.
You weren't capturing that. That's amazing. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, well, I think part of it was just at the time, like I said, I was in a dark place, and that's why it is important for people to know, because you just don't know. You know, you're not expecting anything. You're just going and doing it because somebody stuck a camera in your hand, and
right. You're
figuring it out that sitting there being angry or depressed or whatever is not only dragging you down, but everyone around you. And you've been maybe to a variety of doctors and haven't hit the right one that's been able to help. And, you know, you just haven't found a connection to a greater power that's going to help you tap into some things and get out of your own way. And a lot
right.
of times that's what it is. I was in my own way. With natural feelings, it's natural to grieve losses in our life, but and you don't put a time limit on it. But at the same time, one of the things I learned that was another amazing awakening to me, you know, is back at 35, I thought I was pretty all that. And when I got taken out of the ball game for a year with that brain injury, guess what? The world kept turning. And everybody else kept having a life. And you know, I needed to get a new perspective on
you
me.
You did, and that is just amazing. You know what? I think you may have just hit on a new term. I really like when you said about your traumatic brain interruption. I thought that's really kind of prophetic there, because it is an interruption on many levels. You know, an interruption in the pathway, an interruption in your thought processes, an interruption in your life. You know, that was a very Freudian of you. I kind of like that, Kim.
Well, thanks. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
I mean, just like you, you know, my brain was used to ticking in a certain way. That was my expectation. That was
my
default. That's what came naturally. And then that got interrupted. And so I wasn't able to do that anymore. So now what?
Very, very interesting.
You know,
I really like this part. Yeah.
You know, so what we do is we try different things, and you know, there's others that disagree, and, you know, they're welcome to do it. Everybody does it in a different way. But I try to encourage people. I was very competitive in everything I did prior, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing to be, but I'm saying that if you don't try things because you're afraid you won't be the best at it,
Right.
then you're losing out on what's most important, is the process and the try. You don't even get to experience that because you've shut yourself out on what may or may not be an unrealistic expectation for the end game. You miss the process, which is the living part of it. And you know, one of the things you want to do when you have the time and the opportunity and that interruption or change phase, is now you've got the chance for maybe the first time in a long time that suddenly, in a different way, maybe not the way we wanted or expected, but the world is our oyster again as far as being able to have the opportunity to try some new things, things we know we're interested in that we never actually acted on trying to do ourselves, things that maybe somebody drags us along to. You know, genealogy was something that I wound up getting really interested in, and that was not anything I was interested in on my own at the beginning, but it was kind of on a backhanded dare of a family member who bet me that I wouldn't be able to do it, that made me not only do it, but wind up becoming a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution.
Oh, you are kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
Oh, that is amazing. So you were able to trace it clear back there. So the 4th of July, though, really is a holiday for you.
Yeah, that's really amazing. Well, on both sides, I went back. And then on one, you know, I know Tim is... Is he not a variation of Irish and
correct,
English?
Correct.
He's
Ireland.
Australian.
Born and raised there, yeah.
That's what I thought. And see, that we talked about that, he and I, a little bit that night, that part of my heritage, I knew myself to be Irish and Italian. Well, there is some Irish that was pure Irish, but there is a branch that goes off up into Scotland.
Oh,
and
why?
Then we actually took it back even further to William the Conqueror. And I've actually got some Viking. So it went from
the time period.
Now we're back a long way, you know, from Viking into Scotland, down into Ireland, down into English. And so, you know, it kind of all spread out and came together. But yeah, that was a funny thing, because now that winds up being fun. And for me, like working a mental puzzle is what genealogy
it is, yeah.
Like. And then the fun facts, you know, to it. But that was something, you know, I didn't even think I would be interested in. So, you know, be aware, too, not only of you and things that you've wanted to try or interests of yours you've never acted on or that you just think would be fun. But listen, too, you know, to what other people are saying, because, you know, it's interesting because of things I've posted on Facebook and things I've talked about on here, like just mentioning what I just did, I wind up having people get a hold of me because it just resonated with them for whatever reason at the moment they heard it. And I've got a cousin, two friends I went to college with, and another lady that I knew, all decided that they wanted to join DAR. So they started doing genealogy and had a whole bunch of fun finding their patriots and their family. And so, you know, you just never know if you're tuned in and listening. And a lot of times, you know, when we're in depression, we tend to isolate and withdraw.
Right.
And, you know, we're not listening past the negativity and the blank spot in our head. And, you know, it's very important to find a way to tune into ourselves, whether, and I wish Tim would get here because, you know, music is a great way.
Right.
If you're
right.
not a music writer, you're going to find somebody who expresses what you have felt a million times but could never articulate, and you hear someone else do it, and it's like magic, because all of a sudden you're not the only one, because that's where we tend to go. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that's ever felt this way, you know?
Right,
I'm the
right.
only
and
one that's ever had these issues.
Well, and Kim, was there anything else that I could help you with before I jump off here? I feel badly because Tim isn't jumping on, but I didn't know if there was anything that I could help for the rest of your show in the next few minutes.
Well, I guess just a couple of things is one thing I wanted to bring up. Again, I'm going to mention that this is Dr. Chris Ann Gordon I've been talking with if you came in late and you want to check out their website, resurrectinglives.org. This is a veteran help organization. And, you know, we just had an announcement, 2 days ago? That they were withdrawing the troops from Afghanistan. And so, you know, there might be a few left there, and what happens, happens. But it looks like we're drawing to the end of this 20-year conflict. And there have been, through this whole time, and going to be a lot more veterans coming home with challenges transitioning. And we want to do everything we can do to support that effort. And Resurrecting Lives does that. So do check out the website. And just two things, Chris Ann. Tell people what they can expect to see at Resurrecting Lives. That's often the impetus that makes someone go look it up. And then just secondly, I mentioned earlier about your 2013 Operation Resurrection documentary, but you have some exciting news about a newer project that's being worked on, and I'd like to just touch on that to the extent that you can so that people can tuck it in their back pocket and be looking for it, and you'll let me know when it's ready to be out there so that I can steer people that way.
Yes, that's amazing. Thank you so much. Well, to the answer to the first question, when you go to our website at resurrectinglives.org, you'll be able to see our mission statement, why we're founded. We're really founded for the veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan who are struggling with the effects of traumatic brain injury. And if you've been listening to Kim and I talking today, we've also mentioned the fact that post-traumatic stress disorder, post-traumatic stress, is actually something that occurs because of a traumatic brain injury, whether it's an immediate one or whether it's a remote traumatic brain injury that kind of set you up for developing some of the symptoms that you have for a post-traumatic event as well. We also have some of our events that are coming up as well as tributes to veterans. And I think there's a lot of links to our online activities. We now, you know, like everybody else, you know, Kim, we became virtual over the past year. So we had veterans meeting virtually in Zoom to do either comedy, or some did songwriting, and some did journaling, and some did mindfulness, others transcendental meditation. Just what you were talking about, Kim, kind of getting out of things that you were used to doing to see which things you may like doing. And I will tell you that both the transcendental meditation group and the mindfulness group, who were able to kind of, you know, just quiet their mind, similar to when you would drive outside the city, Kim, to be taking your pictures in a nice, quiet environment. That actually helped so many of them who were struggling in our pandemic year. So you can find out a lot there. You can send us an email at info@resurrectinglives.org, and we do answer those. And it's actually been a means that we've been able to get several veterans, and by several I mean like close to 100, to services just by contacting us via email. So that's what you kind of have to expect there. As far as our documentaries go, you know, the first documentary, it was just very much trying to get an awareness point for people who could make legislation and make a difference. So I was trying to get the information out about what a traumatic brain injury is, what it feels like, how to correct it, how to get to therapies, all of that in Operation Resurrection. So it was very much of a didactic 40-minute documentary. And we interviewed about 10 different veterans and their stories and tied it into how they were able to get services, or at least for them, how they were not able able to get services. And so that gave me the impetus for starting the nonprofit right afterwards. But in 2022, we will be releasing a documentary short, or a film that's very short, called Brainstorms. And I was very blessed to have Julie Pacino, who is of the Pacino, you know, Hollywood royalty, who is just a brilliant, creative, very dynamic soul. I think she's about 30 years old, but she has the wisdom of somebody who's been around for centuries. I'm not kidding you. And she and her team, Erin Meinhardt being her videographer, they're the creative part of the team. Robert McCready and Elise Listener make up the foursome of them. It's called Tiny Apples. And they will be doing this film after interviewing about 12 of our veterans that we have dealt with through the years at Resurrecting Life, and we'll be putting it in a film that will give the audience kind of an experiential treatment instead of it being didactic like I was and trying to learn by rote, which is the only thing I could do. They will have the audience learn what's going on in the brain of these veterans by actually experiencing it. And I think that that will be really very interesting. When I know more about it and exactly when it will be released, I'll let you know. But I do think of it a lot. I think of it particularly tonight before I got on with you, Kim, because I was watching the Weather Channel and seeing where the Hurricane Elsa, what was going on with relatives that I have in the Georgia area and on the South Carolina coast. And, you know, we want to remember those people in our thoughts and prayers because it is going to be a really long weekend going up the coast there. Mm. But I kind of consider a traumatic brain injury being like being in the middle of the hurricane. You know, like I say to so many of our young vets that have just been through horrific things in boot camp and in battle, and like you mentioned, Kim, going to theater, to the war theater 5, 6, 7 times. You know, they've been through horrible things, and then they'll call us or contact us usually in the middle of the night or the first thing in the morning, and they're just in that depressed state, like, you know, I don't know what's going on with me. And I say, you know what, here's the deal. You've just been through the one side of the hurricane. You're quiet now. You're reaching out. You realize you've got a brain injury, but you're going to need help getting through it. So I said, so, you know, hold on, because we're about to drag you through the other side of the wall. Because as you found out, Kim, when you ruptured your aneurysm, just going through that horrific event and living through it was just the beginning of your starting all over again. And you had to go through a lot of therapy and a lot of horrific things to get back to what the new you, the new Kim, was going to be. So that's kind of it in the nutshell.
Yes.
What I have to say about that.
Well, I want to thank you for all of the work you do to, obviously, to help our veterans. God knows they need it. And the fact that you were able to tap into your own experience and channel things that other practitioners weren't seeing. I'm sorry that you had your experience and you've got to be a brain injury survivor, but it brought you to a place to be able to help so many others and to be able to key in on this demographic that was not being addressed properly at all, and I think was helping contribute to that suicide rate. So God bless you. You're an angel for what you do, and thank you for participating in Resurrecting Lives and being friends with me all these years and coming on and sharing your wisdom with everyone else, and for getting Tim, even if we can't get him to show up on air, for writing this song that I'm going to play as I let
Perfect.
You jump off the air. I'm going to go ahead and play Tim's song because it's a great way to close out our interview. But everyone, check out resurrectinglives.org. And as your veterans are coming home or they are home and maybe struggling a little bit and haven't quite found the right mix of things, and a lot of times it is a mix of treatments.
Right, yes.
Whether it's learning to go fishing, doing DBT, getting certain kinds of therapy, you know, there's not one answer, unfortunately, that addresses everybody. However, you know, you keep plugging along and you will find a life worth living and a calmer life with the right mix of treatment modalities, and they're not in a bottle, pill bottle or booze bottle, 100%. And in fact, if that is all you're operating on, see a doctor that knows what they're talking about, because unfortunately you're being a little short-shrifted there, because there's a bag of tools or a quiver of arrows that encompass the world of recovery, and a lot of those are holistic, naturalistic, alternative, and they're really kind of imperative to help you if you are on a medication, to help that medication work and not be counterproductive. But if there was only a pill that we could take that would fix everything.
I want to thank you, Kim. I mean, seriously, what I'm doing is just what I should be doing, you know, what I've been trained to do, and both on the job training and, you know, on the recovery yourself training. So, but I really do appreciate your allowing me to jump on here and reach your audience and stuff, because every single time that we talk, I get, you know, three or four little hits to the website that lets me know that we're able to reach out to those people and give them a better pathway. So I encourage everybody to please, you know, stay in touch with her. Feel free to contact us. And I will definitely love to jump back on at a time when I know a little bit more about our film, okay? I really do appreciate, Kim, everything that you do. So, you know, your audience will get upset with this mutual admiration society we have going here. But it really is true, and it takes a village to get, you know, the people who need services to get them to services. So we're just part of that village.
That's right, cogs in the wheel. So, again, thank you so much. It's so delightful to be able to talk to you and have this conversation tonight. I really appreciate your time, and we'll be looking forward to hearing more as it comes. Keep me apprised.
Okay, we'll do that, and thank you much. And love your audience. Everybody stay well and stay healthy and take care of each other. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay, everybody, that was Dr. Chrisanne Gordon, and again, you can find out more about her and her pursuits in helping veterans at resurrectinglives.org. And for those of you that are looking at a website that says something different in the program notes right now, after the show in about a half an hour, I'll be correcting that. So it's, sorry, my bad. I put foundation and it didn't belong there. So it's resurrectinglives.org. And in fact, if you even Google and just type in resurrecting lives, that's the first thing that comes up. And I hope that you'll be able to find this video. You'll be able to find the video of the song that I'm going to play right now, by Timothy Beckley, and that's who we were talking about. He got some benefit. He's a veteran, got some benefit from Resurrecting Lives, is a singer-songwriter. I'll tell that part again, that Tim is a folk rock independent singer-songwriter and veteran. He's been writing music since the age of 16 when he moved from piano to guitar after his piano teacher returned to the Czech Republic. His music is inspired by his own life, his journey, his observations, losses, the lessons of falling down, transformation, strength, and hope. Music has always been an outlet of emotions deeply embedded in order to reflect and heal, as well as to express personal gratitude for life and the profound experiences in people that have made an indelible imprint on his life. He says his songs are by pure accidental magic, that they have made it into the hands of some of the greatest artists in the world, and on the Billboard charts in the UK, Ireland, Australia, Canada, and the US, including two top 50 UK Billboard songs and top 10 Billboard songs in the U.S. and the U.K. in the top 100. This song he wrote in particular for Resurrecting Lives, and you can see it at resurrectinglives.org is where the video is. You can also find Tim Beckley, but it's spelled differently. Tim's from Ireland. It's B-A-E-C-H-L-E. You can find it on YouTube, but I encourage you, particularly if you're a veteran or you're involved with a veteran who may be needing some help, to check out Resurrecting Lives. So I'm going to take a quick break and play Brainstorms. Tim was going to be with us tonight, but something obviously unavoidable came up. He wasn't able to make it, but I do want to thank him for his sacrifice and service all the time, but as we're coming off the 4th of July weekend, in helping protect our independence and our freedoms, and for writing this song, which I think will capture an essence for an awful lot of our veterans out there. So thanks to Tim, and this is called, aptly enough for our show, right, Brainstorms. So this is Brainstorms by Tim Beckley, and then I'll be right back.
Baghdad, to Basra, the boss from the Bakersfield, the hottest battle they ever fought, raging inside of me. My brain has been battered, scrambled and rattled, no one knows what's going on with me. I walk the halls and I've climbed the walls, drink everything inside, and swallowed all I could find. Look for stronger things to cool my weary mind. Put that 8-ball and 38 won't save my life. 'Cause I have brainstorms. I have brainstorms. And I can't wait till that morning light comes. Found hope. Most peculiar place, by the grace of God, still in the human race. Broke free from this broken brain, restore my will, refound my faith. 'Cause I had brainstorms. I had brainstorms. But now I can't wait till that morning light shines.
Sorry, are you able to hear me now? Sorry, we had a little blank space there after Tim called in. That was Tim Beckley that sang Brainstorms, and I said aptly for our song. In any case, I hope that you enjoyed that song, and then I talked a little bit, but thank you so much, Ron, for telling me that I lost audio. When I put his song on so that people can hear the music better, I mute my mic, and once again, I forgot to unmute it. So, again, appreciation to my support team, support wingman down there in the chat who let me know that that was going on. I see that we have a caller, so we have a few minutes left in the show, and I'm going to take the caller. Area code 727, who's this?
Hello, Kim.
Michael, you're
Hello,
up late.
Kim. Yeah, I know. I slept early. Guess what? Guess what?
What?
We won the Stanley Cup. Again.
The Stanley Cup, you're in the middle of having a hurricane, aren't you? And you're talking about the Stanley Cup.
I know.
Now,
but
wait a minute.
We won the Stanley Cup tonight. Yeah, we won it again.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's super cool. But
for Tampa, not for me. For Tampa. This is what makes me do so well, though. The little things like this. It's only the little things in life, you know?
Yes. Yes. Gosh, that's just so funny because my guest who was just on, she just left a moment ago and she was talking about friends and family in Florida and, well, and the coast area. I guess she has some people in the Carolinas too, but was saying that our thoughts and prayers are with them as the hurricane is going to be dealing some fits down around the area. And then you come on from that area as soon as she hangs up, within minutes of her hanging up, and I'm expecting you to say something about the hurricane, and you bring up, of all things, the Stanley Cup. Congratulations for that, and tell us how you're doing. Give us a weather report. You're a little closer than I am to the situation.
Yeah.
Are you being affected at all?
No, as soon as it passes, the weather gets awesome. You know, it gets really nice. And it passed off our coast last night. And I live right by the coast. You'd think I'd be hurting. But it hardly did anything. It hardly did anything. A little rain, yes. A little flooding, yes. But we seem to survive because it was like 75 miles out or 100 miles out. So it just passed by our coast and it knocked over some trees, but we seemed to do okay. And then we went to, you know, I still got stitches in my back too, and I'm doing this. This is why I'm awake, because they itch like crazy. I'm getting them out Tuesday, right. And, and it's driving me crazy. It's like crazy.
Well, you never did tell me. You told me about the stitches, but I guess I didn't catch where you told me how that happened, that you came to need stitches.
A nurse from my insurance came in and gave me a physical. They do it every year. They just want to see you and see how you're doing, okay? And she was with the stethoscope listening to my heart. And she went on my back and she said, "What's this?" And I said, "What's what?" She said, "You got a big bump in the back of your neck, between your shoulder blades. That's why I never saw it. Because I swim. You know, I swim and everything. I'm the cleanest person you'd ever want to know. My place is spotless. And my clothes are clean. I swim, too." And I said, "I don't know. What is it?" And I went to the dermatologist, and they just removed it. But they went way down deep and removed it because they put two stitches on my inside and three stitches on the outside. So I've been living with this for 2 weeks.
Wow, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't know. My Gary is going to have, he's got skin thing, two of them actually on his chest, and he's going to have to go through that, I think Monday.
Right.
So then he'll have stitches for a couple weeks. So I'm sorry,
my
places
brother,
like
my
the
brother
back
did.
And the, yeah. Well, I mean, and it's hard too. It's no fun anywhere, but you know, when it's on your chest or your back or your neck, there's not much you can do without moving that area. So it hurts, obviously, in the beginning.
Yes, but Tim, let me tell you something. They numb around your skin, and it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt if you don't think of it. Just let it. You know what I mean? Have some Tylenol extra strength for him when he gets done, and just don't think about it. That's the way. But you have to change your bandages every day. The bandage lady that put on my bandage put all the tape one way, and the bandage fell off the first night and had blood all over my back. Thank God I had a nurse right below me that could take care of me. But the lady put the bandage on wrong. So what you can do is when your husband has it, please make sure they put on the bandage right.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Yeah.
And then what they normally do, and I don't know if you had to do this, but after he gets the stitches, after the Band-Aid comes off in a few days, he has to, with a Q-tip, put Vaseline, a little bit of Vaseline on that, which would be really hard to do when it's on the back of your neck, but apparently that helps it heal up a little better.
Oh,
he's been through this before.
I did that, yes. Yes, I had to change my bandage every 2 days. And when you change the bandage, you put some Vaseline on, and then you just put the bandage on. And everything will be okay, tell them. Everything will be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm so grateful that.
Yes.
No, I'm glad. I'm sorry that had to happen. I'm glad that you're on the other end of it. But I'm also glad, you know, you don't know when you don't live there. You know, when you're across the country and you're watching the news, you know, Florida has been big news lately because of the building that collapsed, first of all, and then, you know, in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of the recovery operation to have, oh, my God, a hurricane coming right at Florida. And then, of course, you know, I knew you lived in Florida. So like Dr. Gordon, who is my guest tonight, she was thinking about her friends and family that are down on the coast area that are going to be affected. And that's why I was asking you, I think when I answered a private message or something, maybe last night or whatever, I was praying that you weren't going to be. And when you told me you lived on the 14th floor of a high rise, I was like, holy moly, macaroni, God. I hope, you know, that the hurricane comes around you. So you're saying that Tampa is pretty much done with hurricane threat?
Yeah. And I live right on the water. So I was watching everything, and I have windows, hurricane windows, so I'm nice, and I'm 14 floors up, so I don't think anything's going to fly up here. But I watched it all. I watched it all, and everything seems to be beautiful. Florida's beautiful now, you know, again, it always is.
Well, I'm glad that it's over for you. So is it out of Florida now and going up the coast or something? Is it the Carolinas
now? Somewhere in Georgia now. Yeah, somewhere in Georgia now. That's what always happens when they hit us.
Okay.
They go right up the southern states and all. Yeah.
Got it. Well, then we'll have to send a prayer up for Les Paul.
Thank you.
In South Carolina, but he lives on the inland side of it. He's not on the coast. He lives on the inside of the state, which means he'll probably have a heck of a rainstorm, but at least
he's not on
the coast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well,
but
I'm glad that...
Thank you for...
I'm glad you're safe.
Me.
Yes,
yep,
and I
you.
Wish that you would have taken some video standing up on your deck. That sounds like you had a bird's eye view. I wouldn't have wanted you to blow away off the deck. We would have had to tie a rope around you and then around the sofa or something so you didn't go.
Scared little boy. You got to remember, I have a brain injury. I have to take care of my... That's one thing that I do is I take very good care of myself. And to go outside and try to get a shot, I'm not like one of those crazy people that stand on the beach and all. That's over for me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about what you said when... Either when it started coming or when it was going, that you had a good view. That was the only thing that made me think of it. No, in the thick of it, I wouldn't want you going out and risking blowing off your balcony. Of course, you know, you want to take cover. But, that's good to know that the people in Florida are past that. They can go back down where the building collapsed and hopefully find the rest of the people that are missing for their families. I just couldn't believe that would even happen, and then
Neither can I. I know. I know. That's so sad, Kim. That's so sad. Anytime something, any state that happens in, that's so sad. Think of those people, you know? Think of the poor people. They were good people. They were all good people. You know,
I'm
going to start crying. I get very emotional, you know. You know what I get emotional about, Kim? Is me,
what?
I had a real serious accident in 1970, and God kept me around. And, you know, to do the thing, granted, I do a lot of things and all. And look at all those people that, you know, no fault of their own. You know, things happen. Things happen like that, Kim, you know? I don't know why. But anyway, I'm so glad to be closing your show.
I am too. And what a pleasant surprise, because you're usually long in bed by now. So when I saw the number pop up, I was like, you're kidding
here.
Me. I
no,
know.
No, it's 12 o'clock down here. Yeah.
I know. And it's just about 11 here. So I'm going to play a song out and the show will be over with, but I'm so grateful that you called tonight, and it was funny to have you call at the very end of the show instead of the very beginning, and I'm very happy to know that you're through the hurricane and at the end of these stitches now, going to be getting them out soon.
Yeah.
So,
I'll talk to you about your husband. I'll be talking to you over the last 2 weeks. I'll talk to you about it and everything. You tell them everything's fine. They're going to deaden the skin around it and do what they got to do and put the stitches in. They're going to itch a little bit, but that's, tell them just take extra strength Tylenol and he'll be fine. Okay?
I sure will. Thanks for the tip. It's been a while since he's been through it.
I just went through it. Yeah. Yep.
I know. My day is going to come. I used to be a sun goddess. In fact, I need to get a skin check, and I thought he had made an appointment for me at the same time that he went, but he didn't this time. We both have our eye exams on Friday, and we both have our physicals together at the end of the month, but for some reason on this skin check thing, I guess it's because I haven't had a skin cancer incident or had anything removed yet, but both of my parents have had it multiple times. Gary has had it multiple times.
It's nothing to be scared over. You know, okay.
It's better to get it taken care of. Yeah, much better to get it taken care of.
That's what the nurse said to me.
That's absolutely true. Yep.
Okay. All right. I love you, Kim.
Well, I'm going to close out the show.
Bye.
I love you too, Michael. Thanks for calling.
Bye. Have a good night. All right. I'll be talking to you.
All right. Good night. Okay, everybody. And that was Michael from Florida. So we do know that Florida is cleared from the hurricane. Our prayers still go out to the people on the coast, Georgia, the Carolinas, and however far this thing goes. I haven't watched the news tonight, so when I get off here, I will go and check it out. But I'd like to thank you all for being here tonight. I appreciate the heck out of all of you, and was a privilege to have Dr. Chris Ann Gordon on and her project, Resurrecting Lives, for helping our veterans. As I mentioned two nights ago, I believe, I heard on the news that they were withdrawing from Afghanistan after 20 years of this conflict that started in, after 9/11. And so we're going to have a lot of our troops coming home. And as we have had for the last 20 years, we're going to be having batches of people coming home, our veterans and troops, that might have a little difficulty transitioning. So we want to do what we can to help them find their place back in society and comfortable skin, and let them know about Resurrecting Lives, and remember always to thank them for their sacrifice and service. So I'm going to close out tonight, as I said when I was muted, with another veteran musician. Dave Bray was a Marine who was deployed a couple of times in this conflict, and this is Amazing Grace. I encourage you, if you haven't done it, to go check out the video on YouTube. It's Dave Bray, B-R-A-Y, B like boy, R-A-Y, Dave Bray, Amazing Grace. Just type that into the search of YouTube, and it's an awesome video. Also, the one I played earlier, Brainstorms, you can find that at resurrectinglives.org. He's on there. He's also on YouTube, and his name is spelled Tim B-A-E-C-H-L-E, and check out his video. Good night, and God bless everyone. I will be back next Wednesday night. See you then. Have a good week.